I want to turn our attention now to the impact of this 16-day shutdown. In that time, states and counties across the country were pushed to manage many of the services that had been lost. And with steadily declining funds and fewer employees, local officials had to decide what to save and what to sacrifice. North Carolina was especially quick to cut off access to federal dollars. We became the first state in the nation to cut programs that assist low-income families, WIC and TANF. Christina Gibson Davis joins us now. She's a professor of public policy and sociology at Duke University. Hello, Christina.
Hi, Frank.
Let's talk about these programs. We should probably describe what they are, WIC and TANF.
Sure. WIC is a program for pregnant moms and moms with young kids, kids under the age of five, and it basically gives them the ability to go out and purchase food. So often in the grocery store, you'll see under things like Life cereal, you'll see WIC eligible. And that means there's just a bundle of foods that people can purchase with their WIC funds. And TANF is really what we think of when we think of welfare. That's the cash welfare program that exists, and it provides small cash grants to people who are seeking employment. And is really, when people think about welfare, it's sort of the typical welfare program.
And what happened here in North Carolina?
Well, what happened here in North Carolina was sort of interesting. As you pointed out, we were unique in the country. First, we canceled all WIC funds, and then 2 days later, we reinstated them. And then we also canceled TANF funds. There wasn't much discussion as to why WIC funds were canceled or why they were reinstated. The state came out and said that the reason we canceled TANF was because there was no guarantee that the feds were going to meet their monetary obligations. But this despite a letter that all states got from the federal government saying that they would pick up the TANF funds.
So, yeah, I want to make this clear. When you shut down the government, it doesn't mean the funds stopped flowing.
No.
It was a decision by the state of North Carolina
That's right.
to discontinue these programs in this state.
Right, exactly. So the state and states and counties have little pots of money sort of in various places that they can use in cases of emergency. So most people thought that at least through October that most of these kinds of programs would be okay, that there would be no reason to necessarily shut them down.
I want to go back to Jeff Bennett for one last question before we say goodbye to him in Washington. Mm-hmm. Jeff, you were talking about the facts that many of these lawmakers are in safe districts and easily voted no. Is there a sense on the part of any of the North Carolina delegation that the impact on the state of North Carolina might be something that hurts them in the next election?
G.K. Butterfield has said that Americans do not like overreach, and that the overreach we've seen, these are his words, the overreach we've seen both in the North Carolina legislature and nationally with some of the Republicans from North Carolina, that they will pay a price for that. But if you ask those members, they say they're doing the will of their constituents.
All right, Butterfield, a Democrat. Jeff Bennett from News 14 Carolina, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Continuing now with Christina Gibson Davis at the Sanford School at Duke. So North Carolina made the decision to cut this off. Is there any benefit to the state of North Carolina? Does the state save money? Does the state get money for doing this?
Not necessarily. I mean, the state, especially in the case of TANF, the state wasn't clear that the state would have been on the hook for those funds while the federal government was shut down anyway. We should also say that these are pretty small programs. These are not large ticket items. So in terms of looking at cost savings, it's not clear that that would be the first area that you would want to hone in on if you were really concerned about state expenditures during the government shutdown.
What is the total expenditure on this program?
Well, so for example, in TANF, only about 2.2 to 0.4%, between 20 and 40,000 North Carolinians receive any TANF. So it's just not a large program. WIC is slightly bigger, but again, these, I think people sometimes hear government aid and immediately think in lots of zeros. But yeah, these are actually pretty small programs, relatively
small
speaking.
Small programs. Who's eligible and who are the people, that small percentage, who actually benefit by these?
Right. So for TANF, North Carolina can basically decide who they want to be on this program and who they don't want to be. And they can do it independently of any other state. And there's been a dramatic decrease in TANF caseloads, in part because they've made it a lot harder for people to qualify for TANF. So to qualify for TANF, you have to earn pretty small amounts of money and meet some other restrictions. So TANF caseloads across the country have declined between 60 and 80%, and North Carolina would fall into that category.
What's a day in the life? I mean, do people sort of have enough money? What kinds of choices are these people making, people on these programs, kind of at the end of the month? Does the check take them to the end of their month?
No, the check won't take them. So the average cash grant in TANF is about $200 a week. So that's not going to go very far. So they're deciding basic things. They're deciding to eat. They're deciding whether their kid gets to go to the DER for asthma attacks. They're deciding whether or not to pay their car or put gas in their car.
Child care
expenses. Yeah. And, you know, you prioritize and make the things that you think are going to have the least consequences.
Child care that you might, and a car that you might need to get to the job that we require
right.
in order for you to even qualify
right.
for these.
So one-third of working family, one-third of the poor in North Carolina are working. And so they are basically doing what we expect people to do in our society, which is work. But then it, because of the way low-wage work operates, it's not clear that that provides enough money for them to live on.
And then if they didn't show up at their work, some politician could right. say the program is broken.
Exactly. So this is what happened.
By cutting off aid to the very...
right, exactly. So like when they shut down Head Start programs, as they did, not in North Carolina, but in other states, there were a lot of low-wage workers who couldn't go into work because what were they supposed to do with their children?
So other questions, too, in terms of what happens and the WIC program as well. That's a larger program.
Yeah, that is a larger program. And WIC has traditionally enjoyed a lot more sort of political support than cash welfare because we give it to pregnant moms and little kids. And who doesn't like a pregnant mom or a little kid?
What happens? So in the time that the funds were shut off, what was the actual impact? Were people not getting a check or was it a kind of a fictive shutdown
yeah,
and then they
I think
got it in arrears?
Right. I mean, it was only a 2-day shutdown, so which means that during that time they would not be processing any new WIC applications. But if you had a WIC card, you could still – I mean, they didn't deactivate your WIC card, so you could still go to the store and purchase the goods that you wanted. It just means that you couldn't enroll in WIC. But again, it was a 2-day shutdown, so it's – impact is probably small.
In terms of, as somebody who kind of studies these programs and has seen the history of these programs, mm-hmm. you know, we heard from Jeff Bennett the impact on federal workers, particularly mm-hmm. some of the more high-ranking workers who right. say, look, I'm leaving government
right.
for this. What's the impact on people who receive these services when they're on and they're off and
right.
they're living lives where there's a lot of uncertainty to begin with?
Right. So there's great confusion. Right. So a while ago, North Carolina had to cut off one of its health care programs for children because the state ran out of money. And the long-term impact of that was just an overall decline because people were very confused about whether or not what the program was. You know, our safety net is very fragmented. It's very confusing. I study it. It confuses me. So, you know, for people who may not have the time or the leisure to study it like I do, I think it can be very confusing. So I think the legacy of all of this is confusion and an increasing mistrust of what people in North Carolina want to give to other North Carolinians.
And when you say our state cut off these benefits, what's the mechanism? I'm talking now we'll go back to WIC and TANF.
Mm-hmm.
Who makes these decisions and how do we and who's accountable
right.
for the decision to cut off these funds, which didn't save the state any money?
Right. So that's really interesting because what had happened was it basically came down in this last example when WIC and TANF were cut off, a few key policymakers made these decisions. It was not something that the legislature met and then decided, or there wasn't any, you know, town hall meetings or anything like that. So it's really hard to sort of peel back the curtain, as it were, and understand exactly why those decisions were made in the way they were. And they could have been made for very good reasons, but we simply don't know since they happened quite quickly and by just a few people.
Well, do we know who the people are? Are they in the executive? Is it an executive decision?
Yes, it was a decision in part by – it came out of the governor's office. So we presuppose that McCrory in some level signed off on it and was aware of it.
Is responsible. So yeah. Accountability, transparency is
yes.
kind of one of the things that's been highlighted in this whole ordeal.
Right, exactly. And it just does highlight how – there just isn't much cohesion to our safety net and parts of it can be turned off.
And in the midst of a crisis like this, when we're all focused on debt ceiling and will
right.
we default,
right.
The idea of what happens to a fraction of our population who have the least political voice can
right.
be lost pretty quickly.
Right. So in contrast, North Carolina partnered with Tennessee to open this Smoky Mountain National Park because very good reasons, right? It's a highlight of the tourist season. Those businesses need that money. But you do make those sort of trade-offs, and they chose to open the park and pay the cost for the park, but then not fund some other parts of the social safety net.
And this gets to something that's very important. These are decisions.
Yep.
These are actual critical judgments that are made. It's
yes.
not that we're held hostage to events out of Washington. Once the events happen, people, policymakers here, decide to put money into the state, the national parks, and not to put money there. It's
right.
a conscious decision.
So the way that our system works is North Carolina has an incredible amount of power over how it spends its money. It may not feel like it has enough money, but the money it has, it can decide where it spends. So, yes, they can decide we're not going to you know, do WIC or we're going to do TANF, but we are going to do the Smoky Mountain National Park. And that's completely legitimate and reasonable, given the way it works.
Let's talk about SNAP, which was not part of this. This is what used to be called food stamps.
Food stamps, right.
But SNAP has come under the spotlight for the great increase
in
cost. Tell us about it.
Right. So during what we call the Great Recession, which is the name given to the economic downturn that we just went through, the number of families receiving food stamps, receiving SNAP, soared. And that's in part because, as I was saying earlier, TANF, which is this traditional welfare program, very few people participate. So in the past, when some people might have gone on TANF, they really couldn't go on TANF. So instead, a lot of them went on SNAP and food stamps. And this made a lot of House Republicans very nervous. Suddenly, you had all these presumably middle-class people who are receiving SNAP. And for people who think that the government already plays too much of a role in producing aid, that set off all sorts of alarms in their head. But we should say, you know, 8% of North Carolinians receive SNAP, so nearly 1 out of 10. So this is a large program, and it's a really critical piece of the safety net.
And we're talking now about, and nationally, there are proposed cuts to SNAP.
$31 billion, I believe, or something. Yeah, along those lines. So huge cuts.
And that debate is still in the pipeline.
So that debate sort of got swamped. You know, there have been other things going on. So, but presumably, since the Republicans have not lost their ardor for cost-cutting measures, that will come back online.
Right. Christina, thank you so much for talking with us. Christina Gibson Davis is a professor of public policy and sociology at Duke University.